I don't have a whole bunch of time, so let's go ahead and jump into it. Go ahead and turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. That'll be where we'll be at to start. But I once heard a story about a man who had a habit of grumbling and complaining about the food his wife put on the dinner table every night. But before the family ate the meal, he would say a prayer and give thanks for what he had. One evening, after his unusual combination of complaint and then prayer, his daughter asked him, "Dad, does God hear us whenever we pray?" He said, "Of course he does. He hears us every time that we pray." She thought about that for a moment, and then she asked, "Does God hear everything that we say the rest of the time?" To which he replied, "Yes, he hears every word." And so Dad was feeling pretty good that he had inspired his daughter to be so curious about spiritual matters. But his pride was quickly turned to humility and his daughter's next question. "Then which of those does God believe?" In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul writes, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Sometimes that may seem like a big ask for us. Whenever we experience loss, disappointment, or heartache, it's hard to find the words to be thankful. It's hard for us to understand how we're supposed to give thanks during these difficult and challenging times. It reminds me of a story in Luke chapter 17. There's a story in the life of Jesus that involved some folks who had a problem being thankful. We read about how Jesus cleansed 10 men of the incurable disease of leprosy. If you will, read along with me in Luke chapter 17. We'll start in verse 11. And it says, "On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were clean." The disease of leprosy was a terribly painful disease that ate away at the flesh, and no doctors in that day could heal it. But the physical pain was not the worst part. Luke tells us that they stood far off. Lepers were separated. They were shut out from their families. There's no telling how long it had been since these 10 men had felt the touch of their wife, the embrace of their children. They were shut out from their friends. No longer came to them, or they were not invited to anything. They were completely distant. They were outcast. And then we read in verse 13 that they say, "Have mercy on us." Now, I don't know exactly how this healing took place. We aren't given the details. Maybe as they walked toward the temple, they began to notice their skin losing that scaly white appearance. Or maybe they passed by some people and noticed that nobody was running away, trying to get away from them. We don't know. But when they saw that they were healed, we're told what happens next. In verse 15, "Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan." And Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner?" It's a good question. Where were the other 9? I'll tell you where I think they were. I think they were with their families. I think they were with their friends. They were probably giving their wife a kiss and their children a hug. They were enjoying all the blessings that Jesus brought to their lives. But one of them was different. And I'm sure he loved his wife. I'm sure he loved his children just as much as the others, if not more. And I'm sure he wanted to spend time with his friends just as much as the others. But this one man didn't get so wrapped up in the blessing he had received that he forgot the one who blessed him. I think that Jesus' response to the ingratitude of those 9 lepers gave us a glimpse into the heart of God. See, Jesus wasn't angry, but he was disappointed. Only one person cared enough to express his gratitude. I often wondered as a kid how that could happen. If leprosy was such a terrible disease, then why would only one healed man return to give thanks to God? As I've gotten older, though, I found myself in that man's shoes, in the 9's shoes, and I think a lot of us have as well. We're showered with great blessings all the time, but there are still times where we all fail to go back to God and give him our gratitude. Psalm 103, verse 2, "Blessed be the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his blessings." Psalm 104, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." This week, our country will be observing a day that we call Thanksgiving, and for over 150 years, this holiday has called Americans together and invited them to take time to reflect on their countless blessings. When Abraham Lincoln announced the first Thanksgiving, he called out the American people for losing sight of all that they have been blessed with. And I'm afraid that we might be right back in that situation today. During his proclamation speech, Lincoln said these wise words, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray that God made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness." In preparation of this, I'm afraid it's become very clear how ungrateful I can really be at times. I get up every morning out of a comfortable bed, sometimes a little too comfortable to go to class, something that many people don't have. I wake to a nice house that's heated in the winter and that's conditioned in the summer, at least most of the time. I turn on the lights and enjoy the blessing of electricity. I go to the bathroom and enjoy the blessing of indoor plumbing. I take a long hot shower whenever I want to and enjoy that blessing. And that's just the start. The blessings go on and on and on. And yet I can't help but wonder, how can it be that I enjoy all of these blessings day after day without pausing to give thanks to God for any of them? Now, in my growth, I feel I have gotten better at this, but I think there's times in all of our lives where we have struggled to give thanks to the one who blesses rather than enjoying the blessings themselves. One reason that we're sometimes not as thankful as we should be is that we take what we have for granted. Like I said, I take a hot shower every morning. is nothing unusual. It's nothing special to us. We grew up taking hot showers. All of our friends and family, at least most of them, grew up taking hot showers. So what's the big deal? The big deal is that we're enjoying something that most of the world can't. And the only reason that we can enjoy it is because God has blessed us in a very rich way. Sometimes the only way we can be reminded of our blessings is to have them taken away for a while. I'm sure we've all experienced this, watching our favorite TV show. When everything in the house goes dark, you begin to wonder, how long will the power be out? How am I going to make dinner? When will I find out how this episode ends? How much battery does my phone have? How often do we take things that God has provided for us for granted until we lose them? They abandoned the temple of the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and worshiped Asherah, poles, and idols. Because of their guilt, God's anger came on Judah and Jerusalem. 2 Chronicles 24:18. Judah took all of their blessings for granted and forgot the one who gave all of that to them. So God said, fine, I'll take it away. It scares me to think about what would happen if God were to say to me, Hunter, I'm going to remove every blessing from your life that you haven't thanked me for lately. If he were to do that to any of us, what would we lose? We need to constantly remember that God is the source of all of our blessings and not take them for granted. A second reason that we may not be as thankful as we should be is that we tend to think that we are the cause of our good fortune. I don't think we would ever consciously say, here's what I have done all by myself. But I think subconsciously, we don't really feel that dependent on God. We see all of these things happening around us, and sometimes we can get to a point where we see it all coming from us instead of coming from God. Nearly 3,000 years ago, Moses foresaw the nation of Israel. Like all nations, they would soon... I've been having a cough for a while. I think you can tell. I apologize. But like I was saying, Moses foresaw that the nation of Israel, like all nations, would soon forget the true source of their blessings. What he said of them could very well be said of us in the United States today. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. It's taken from Deuteronomy chapter 8. But also following that, God inspired Moses to add this warning. In verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments and his statutes which I command you this day, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver, your gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God which brought you up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. I pray that we never forget that God is the source of all of our blessings. We need to make a personal choice to be thankful. Remember what Paul wrote, give thanks in all circumstances. Instead of complaining, we need to look for the positive. Two of the biggest barriers to gratitude are complaining and grumbling. When God led the people out of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, he made sure that he provided for his people in the wilderness. When they were hungry, God sent manna and quail. When they were thirsty, God sent water gushing from a rock. Over and over, God provided for their needs. But it didn't take long for them to start complaining. Numbers 11, verse 4 through 6. Oh, that we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. They wanted to be somewhere that they weren't at. They wanted to be in Israel when they were in Egypt. And then they get to Israel, or they're led out of Egypt, and they just want to go back because they think that life was better. But the truth is that it wasn't. There's a lot that we complain about in this world today. Groceries cost way more than they ever had. If you go back like 15 years, you could pay like $1.50 for a dozen of eggs. And now it's like $8. What's up with that? I'm about to get married. This is not the economy I want to get into. You got the cost of gas. You got slow internet. Third world problems. We got how long it takes to go through the drive-thru at McDonald's. I'm already late to my class. I just wanted some breakfast in the morning. Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Develop a daily habit of giving thanks. And we're about to close here. But in order to be thankful people, we need to give thanks every day. Not just every fourth Thursday of November. Not just on Thanksgiving. We need to discipline ourselves to find something each and every day. And it's not hard, but to find something each and every day to be thankful for. And I go to say that we could probably find 10 or 15 things every single day, at least. That's if you choose to stop counting. Even if you seem to be having the worst day of your life, God is using it for something better. Try to find the good in every situation. I promise you it's there. I don't know what all your circumstances are right now. I'm going to guess that some of us are going through tough times. Some of us may be in the best times of our lives, whether you can see it or not. Even if in the midst of all the problems we're facing, may we continue to give thanks to our God, who has been so great to us and blessed us so richly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18.